Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones. Matthew chapter 11 today, where John the Baptist asked some difficult questions about Jesus. Verse 2. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" John is in a tough space here, and I'm not talking about his small cell under Herod's palace. John was placed in prison for speaking truth to power, telling King Herod that his marriage to his half-sister was incestuous and gross. The Messiah, or Savior, was supposed to overthrow dictators like Herod and throw off the shackles of oppression placed on Israel by the Romans or anyone else who sought to subdue them. So, why was John still chained up in prison, he's wondering. Are you the one to come, or should we expect someone else? John used that word, expect. Jesus wasn't what he'd expected in the long run. Expectations can get us into all kinds of trouble with God, especially when he doesn't jump through the right hoops we think he should, like a performing monkey or a trained circus pet. Jesus replies in verse 4, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." Jesus doesn't answer the question directly, but quotes the prophecies about the Messiah. John will understand Jesus is saying, "John, I'm doing Messiah things. I'm the one." But that last part, "Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." Jesus knows that he's not living up to John's expectations, and in that statement, he's looking down the corridors of time to us, speaking to our hearts. People often say, "If God is love, why does he allow all this suffering?" Expectations. Jesus has been preaching to a crowd when John's disciples relayed the message, and as they leave, Jesus turns and asks the crowd, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This was the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. And whoever has ears, let them hear." Okay, now Jesus is answering directly. By saying he is the Elijah who is to come, he's directly quoting a prophecy at the end of the Old Testament in Malachi, that God would send the prophet Elijah to announce the Messiah before he comes. It was all foretold. Jesus may not be meeting their expectations, but they should have expected everything they were seeing. And certain people were beating down the doors to Jesus, according to what he just said. When Jesus said, "From the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it," he's referring to a mob rushing a store for a kid's toy at Christmas, or like an army besieging a city. The crowd was flocking to John at the Jordan, and now they were flocking to Jesus. There were some who saw and heard the preaching of John and saw the signs of Jesus and took hold of the kingdom of God with everything they had. But to everyone else who stood back and wondered about him, Jesus has something to say about their expectations of him in verse 16. "To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, 'We played the pipe for you, and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge, and you didn't mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. I love this scripture where Jesus accuses the masses of being like spoiled children, all depressed and sad because the other kids won't do what they want. We played a song for you and you didn't dance. Keep that in mind the next time you're on social media. It explains a lot about public opinion. These spoiled kids play on their flute and want Jesus to dance to their beat. Jesus refuses to be their dancing bear in a tutu, and he ridicules their contradicting opinions. John fasted, you said he was a weirdo and possessed, but the Messiah came eating and drinking just like you, and you said he was a sinner and gross. Nobody can please the crowd. But then Jesus looks up to heaven with a sigh, I believe, and smiles like he knows a secret. Verse 25. At that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So Jesus lets us in on the secret. You actually need to have who I am revealed to you. It's not about being wise, smart, or brainy. The eggheads missed who Jesus was, but the Father revealed Jesus to those who knew their sin, like the people who got baptized or thought God was done with them, like the leper, the possessed, or unclean woman who couldn't stop bleeding. These were the people that violently took hold of the kingdom of God because they were desperate and they saw who Jesus was. These people got let in on the secret. And then Jesus gives an invitation in verse 28 to all who might be like them. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus' words echo with depth and meaning today as they did then. Come to me, all you that are weary and burdened. They were hearing a lot of things, just like we do on social media. They were getting philosophical whiplash from not knowing what voice to listen to or who to believe. And through it all, Jesus says, God reveals himself to those who are desperate, to those who need him, those who are weary and burdened and need rest, those who have a heavy yoke and want to exchange it for Jesus' light yoke that's easy, the burden that's light. I am gentle and humble in heart, Jesus says, and you will find rest for your souls. Friends, are you tired and burdened and weary today by all that you see in the world? Then Jesus says, come to me. On a personal note, I'm planting a church right now in San Diego, and this is the key verse for our church plant, simply because I believe it summarizes the soul cry of most men, women, and children that are worn out in a post-COVID world, but find Jesus to be that timeless refuge, that shepherd, that one who cares for their soul and can give them rest. Well, my friends, we're going to continue our journey, but I pray that you have found the rest stop that is Christ on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.